Amen. Please be seated. If you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, now is the time to pull them out. We are going to be in John chapter 11 today. Well, God doesn't play games with us. But often we don't understand his actions or lack thereof. If we're honest at times, our loving good shepherd doesn't seem loving or good, maybe just confusing. God's ways are not our ways. God's timing is not our timing. And the story of Lazarus is a vivid example of it all. We're going to begin the story of Lazarus today. We're going to be in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. We will finish the story next week, but there is plenty for us to learn in these first 16 verses. So John chapter 11, verses 1 to 16, I'll begin reading in verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It's when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be gathered together today, thankful that we are your people, thankful that you invite us into a space like this, that your presence is here with us, and that as we sing and as we pray, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, as we focus on Scripture, we do all of it in your presence. So it is our prayer that everything we do in the midst of this service is bringing you the glory that you deserve. It's also our prayer that our faith in you grows deeper and our knowledge of you increases. And so as we turn our attention now to your Scripture, give us eyes to see exactly what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. Give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, news of Lazarus' sickness reached Jesus in verses 1 through 6. He had traveled across the Jordan River to the place where John had first baptized him at the beginning of his public ministry. This news arrives from Bethany, the home of Jesus' friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And this is where we first meet them in the Gospel of John. There's no mention of them any time earlier in this book, but there is much to come. And if we spend any time going into the Gospel of Luke, we find a lot of additional detail about this relationship. It was likely that Bethany, the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, was Jesus' home base when he was doing ministry anywhere in that area, and he had a very close relationship with all three of them. The news arrives, the sisters sharing, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And notice, this is not a request that they're making. It's just a mention of his illness. But the word that is used to describe his illness is a word that indicates a serious illness. Apparently for them, they thought simply letting Jesus know that Lazarus, this person he loved, was seriously ill would be enough for Jesus to know what to do. It was time to drop everything. It was time to hurry back to Bethany so Jesus could use some of his miraculous power to bring about healing. And yet Jesus replies, this sickness will not end in death. And then he talks about God's glory, and he talks about the Son receiving glory. And it must have been a little bit of a head scratcher for the people who were standing around, knowing as well that this was a very serious illness. John tells us that Jesus loved them. And we can't see this in our English translations, but there's a very interesting structure in Greek in the way that John describes the love that he has for this family. It literally says, Jesus loved this Martha, this sister, this Lazarus. That construction emphasizes not only the power of the love, but the fact that it is directed individually to each of them. It wasn't just that Jesus was an acquaintance of the family. It was that he had a loving relationship with Martha, a loving relationship with Mary, a loving relationship with Lazarus. And John wants to emphasize that this was a very close friendship with love that was shared. But then we're told, so Jesus stayed 2 more days. Look back at that sentence and the way it reads. Jesus had this intense love for Martha, for Mary, for Lazarus. Therefore, Jesus stayed 2 more days once he received the news. It makes no sense at all, does it? Finally, in verses 7 to 10, Jesus says, let's go back. And by go back, he means to Judea, to the village of Bethany, where Jesus has been many times. It was just 2 miles from Jerusalem, so it was the perfect place for ministry to be based. But the last time that Jesus was there declaring his identity and healing people miraculously, it upset the religious elite so much that they attempted to kill him. His disciples, therefore, tried to talk him out of the trip. Jesus, it's too dangerous. Why take the risk? And Jesus replies by saying this, anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble. For they see by this world's light. It's when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. Okay. Can't you just see the disciples' faces kind of contort when they hear this and they think, what does that have to do with anything, Jesus? What are you talking about here? And what Jesus has uttered here is a proverb. And it has a deeper meaning. It's not literally referring to daytime and nighttime, but rather to light and darkness. And we're reminded that Jesus is the one who said, I am the light of the world. The only way to know where you're going is to follow Jesus, to stay with Jesus, because by staying with Jesus, you stay in the light. Jesus is basically saying to them, I'm about to return to Bethany because that's where I'm supposed to go. And if you want to stay in the light, you should probably consider coming along with me. That's in essence what he communicates to his disciples here. And then he adds, let's wake Lazarus up. Jesus says Lazarus has fallen asleep, and then we have the response from the disciples, well, Lord, if he's asleep, then he'll just get better. They're confusing natural death with sleep, and it really seems to be an honest confusion. I don't think we need to force the disciples into some caricature of being incredibly dense and missing the obvious of what Jesus is talking about. It was common in Jesus' day to say someone fell asleep and mean that they died, and to say someone fell asleep and to mean that they actually fell asleep. It was just an honest misunderstanding. But Jesus then tells them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And it's important for everybody involved. It's important for us to realize that he was in fact dead, because that's the miracle that's about to take place. And we'll finish with that miracle next week. But before we move on from this, I want us to understand the timeline a little bit, because it's essential here. You see, the sisters sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was incredibly sick. And it took that messenger a day to reach Jesus where he was doing his ministry. We're told in this text that once Jesus received that news, he stayed there for 2 days before then choosing to return to wake Lazarus up. And that would require 1 more day for Jesus to return to Bethany.
That meant that 4 days had transpired. And as we'll see in next week's text, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days when Jesus arrived. What that means is it was likely that Lazarus died very shortly after the messenger was sent to Jesus. And we can begin to understand Jesus' patience a bit when we know that Jesus knew that Lazarus had already passed. There was something deeper, something bigger going on here, and we're going to investigate those 4 days next week, and you're going to see why. But Jesus knew what was happening. He was intentional in his actions, even if what he chose to do and the proverb he chose to share was utterly confusing to everybody else who was around. Jesus knew what he was up to. He knew what needed to be done. He adds another confusing statement after all of this. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there. Not there to save Lazarus, so you may believe. Now, the disciples already believe. They're following after Jesus, and they've come to believe after they've witnessed his power, his miracles, and his statement of identity. But there's a sense here that witnessing this miracle will increase their faith far more than it would have had they all been there with Lazarus and the healing taken place before his death. It appears that Jesus' explanation is enough for our disciples because in verse 17 we can see that they've already made the trip to Bethany. But not before Thomas speaks up in verse 16. For once it wasn't Peter. It sounds almost like Thomas took Peter's line here. Thomas seems to speak for all the disciples, and what he says is, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." I wish I could have heard the intonation. It seems like there was a sort of a triumphant thing, or maybe it was sort of almost like in this Eeyore kind of voice where it's like, well, we're going to die anyway, so let's go with Jesus. There seems to be some sort of a resignation in him. He's feeling that Jesus knows he's heading into the threat, and that must mean that this adventure all of them have had in following after Jesus is over. It's time for the ministry to end, and he basically wants to show solidarity with Jesus. But the conclusion of this story next week will teach him and us otherwise. Before we close today, I want to talk just for a few more moments about these 2 days. The 2 days that Jesus waited. Why did Jesus wait? What must his disciples have been wondering during that time? As Jesus went about his business, he'd received this dramatic news. The disciples knew the power of Jesus, and yet he just went back to the work he was busy doing. What must they have wondered? His timing is definitely not our timing. And maybe some of you are sitting in this sanctuary this morning feeling some of those same emotions. Maybe for you, you're in the midst of 2 days. You're in the midst of a season of waiting. You've been praying and praying and praying, and you know God has the power to answer, but he hasn't yet. What's the delay? What's taking so long? Why isn't he moving in my life in the way I want? Why is it so confusing when I have this faith in the living God? If that's you this morning, remember that our God doesn't play games with us. In our story, we see that Jesus has a miracle in the works, and he may well have the same in store for you and for me if we wait, if we trust, if we stay with him in the light. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we confess that we don't always understand the way that you work in this world and the way that you work in our individual lives. I imagine the disciples, everybody who surrounded you while you were going about your business at the River Jordan, were confused at your response to the message, at what appeared to be you withholding your miraculous power when it could have blessed and it could have healed. At times, we're confused at why you haven't acted yet, why you didn't choose to heal, what your ultimate plan is.
Help us to learn from this story, a story where we can see the beginning, the middle, and the end, the ways that you sometimes work with a plan far bigger than something that we can see or understand. Help us to stay near you in those times and seasons, that we might remain in the light, that we might remain prepared for your work, for your movement, for your answer, for whatever you desire in our lives. And so we lift these things in our life to you now in prayer. We entrust them to you. We know that you love us and that you want the best for us. And so have your way in our lives. Work your will in the details. And may we celebrate, even now, the work that is to come. I pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.